Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
It's time for the stare down, and we are in the heart of college football season. Man, was yesterday a day that made you love college football. Hey guys, it's Sean Carpenter in Columbus, Ohio, joined by my regular guest hosts, Bill Risser in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Todd Meininger in sunny Cumming, Georgia. Bill, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. I've been through my first hurricane, and the preparation and the waiting was way harder than the actual event. And then I would say the aftermath, all of our branches lost power, and we had until Friday before everybody's back up. So the week after was a lot of work and, you know, a lot of struggle for a lot of people. But, you know, the actual event lasts a few hours. But boy, there's 2 weeks of buildup and then, you know, ramp down from the, yeah. The where we were. We were very fortunate. Just a little jog 30 miles east of Tampa made all the difference for us. And no storm surge to speak of, very little flooding. We were very fortunate.
And we talked about that last week, but important question, Bill. All of your, at least as far as you know, all of your employees' houses and personal livelihoods and stuff were spared?
Yep. Yeah, we have some people just still without power, but everyone's safe, and there's nothing better than that.
Great. And Todd, you up in North Georgia, you actually got the kind of the aftermath of Irma. You guys got, I saw Atlanta Airport canceled some 1,300 flights that day because the force of the winds. You guys got lots of rain. Everything good up there?
Everything's good, Sean. First of all, Bill, welcome to Florida, right? So from June to November, there's always going to be the hurricane, and you did the right thing. You have to prepare for it, and you're learning that the before and after is sometimes worse than the actual storm. So, Sean, we got half our neighborhood lost power. I was fortunate enough to never lose power. A lot of tree and branches are down, but nothing to complain about, especially from other parts of Florida and other parts of the state. My daughter, from the mouth of a 12-year-old, she goes, oh, she's bummed out. I'm like, why? And she goes, fall's not going to be as vibrant this year. Look at all the leaves. There's a ton of green leaves on the ground. And I'm like, I never even thought of that. That's brilliant. And you mentioned the airport. You know, think of the logistics and the money. I mean, I'm sure businesses have to account for this, but 1,300 flights down. Real quick, Sean, and then we'll get to sports. My parents are on the 11th floor in Orlando in a condo, and their elevator's been out since, what, a week now? Yeah. My mom's in a walker. My dad's doing fine, but they can't climb 11 floors. So they live in a great place. They have food. My brother-in-law, thank God for him, has run up some supplies to them. But I was talking to him yesterday, and they said, you could be in the nicest hotel in the world or nicest apartment, nicest condo, and when someone tells you you can't leave, it drives you crazy. So they think Wednesday the elevator will be back running. They're shipping parts in from California to fix it. So anyway, there's still some people in the struggle. They're fine, but oh my God, I can't imagine. I'd be going nuts, cabin fever right now.
Wow. Well, it certainly is reinforcing, Bill. I know a lot of you are probably people that aren't living in a building like you, reinforces the need for a generator in the state of Florida. Right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would think anyone who went through this, who's not kind of a novice to hurricanes, would run out as soon as Lowe's and Home Depot replenishes stock and buys one and just throw it in the garage. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the great news is for those people that have power in the state of Florida and South and all the South, they got to see some good sports this week. Let's start, guys, with one of those magical runs as it ended the other night. Tom Hamilton, the voice of the Indians, said, "You won't see one like that again for a while." It's been a little over 100 years that the Cleveland Indians were trying to break the streak of the 1916 New York Giants. 22 wins in a row, and it came to a close the other night against Kansas City. What do you guys think of that run by the Tribe? They've already clinched their playoff spot, which was really not in question, but happened maybe sooner than you know. When you're winning all the time, and the other teams you're beating are the other end of the magic number. Bill, you're a baseball, longtime baseball fan. What do you think of that run?
Yeah, I can only imagine what that was doing for the city. I know I've been through a 12 or 13 game winning streak with the Padres, you know, way back in the day, and you just couldn't wait for the next game to start. I mean, it really was a lot of fun. And then even some of those wins, like number 21 or 22 was a come from behind, you know, tie in the ninth, win in the 10th kind of a thing. And so you're just going nuts. I think that's awesome. But you know what I think about when you get into streaks in the 20s, I think about the Baltimore Orioles. Do you remember they started, I think they started the year like 0-21.
Right.
Mm. That crazy number that is just as difficult to do as winning 22 in a row.
Right? Sure.
You have to luck into a win every now and then. But just crazy. That's one of those things that, no, well, you we're older. We're not going to see that again.
Yeah.
that's my guess.
Well, and it ties in so well with their, you know, in their World Series run last year, they kind of coined the term believe land. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're winning 22, guys on the team just believe. You know, Francisco Lindor gets up. He's got two strikes on him, the bottom of the ninth, runner on first, and he slaps one off the wall and left to tie it. And then, bottom of the ninth, Jay Bruce, or bottom of the 10th, Jay Bruce wins it on a walk-off. That was the first walk-off of the series. I mean, that's the amazing part. If you look at some of the numbers inside the, you know, they hadn't lost since August 23rd, I think. And they had more home runs in that streak than they gave up runs total. Now think about that for a second. They had more home runs, I think 37, and they had given up like 34 runs in the entire streak. So their pitching was unbelievable.
The run differential was well over 100 in that stretch.
Wow.
In a 22-game stretch, the run differential was more than like, I think, all but three teams for the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
They'd only been behind, I think, in the sixth inning or later once in the entire streak.
That helps.
They scored first, I think, in 19 of the 22 games. And on games they didn't score first, by the third inning they were ahead. Just an unbelievable battle of skill, and just like you said, and I think it starts at the top, right? Terry Francona, his personality. These guys had fun. They jumped over the rail at the end of the game, and they just, you know, they loved on each other, and it just made it fun, like Little League, you know. And it was just a neat thing to watch. Todd, what did you think of just as a sports fan watching from afar each morning, flipping on SportsCenter and seeing did they win again?
I think Bill hit it on the head, and it resonated inside of me. It's just so good for the city. It's so fun to live in a town, and as you say, be afar watching it every day. I was fortunate enough to live through the Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine era in the Braves. It was fun every day waking up. Who's pitching? It's one of those three guys or two guys that you know you fill in, and it's fun to watch. But also different sports, but in the late 90s, the Orlando Magic made a great run in the playoffs. And they actually, I think Nick Anderson missed some free throws. I don't know if you guys remember, but could have in game one, could have changed. They could have won a championship. But I lived in Orlando at the time, and the city just gets behind these teams. Literally in downtown Orlando, I don't know if you remember Horace Grant. He wore the goggles.
Sure.
One of the buildings actually put a pair of goggles around the building. You know, it's just stuff like that. Streaks like this is why we love sports, and it kind of energizes the city. And when Bill mentioned that, just it must have been fun for those Cleveland guys. Now, on the other hand, I'm a little bit of a worrywart. I'm wondering if they peaked too early, right? Kind of like the Astros in the first half. You're wondering, hey, are they peaking too early? But, hey, you're going to make the playoffs. And
like the Warriors last year, right? Remember the Warriors, you know, they win all the games and then it doesn't mean much. But,
yeah.
You know, certainly gives them that belief, that feeling like we can roll out there and do it. Now, Bill, let's turn to the National League. Dodgers, you know, once again, never really thought they were going to lose lose the lead. But I want to bring up another National League story. You've been watching this Rhys Hoskins kid in Philadelphia. Talk about him for a second.
So that you're killing me, Sean. So I'm currently, you know, we're in our 31st season of our fantasy baseball league. I'm going to bring fantasy back to Rhys. Just bear with me. Rhys was called up late on a Thursday, and our deadline for activating players to get called up is 5:00. He got called up about 4:20 Pacific, you know, standard time and Pacific daylight time. And the only two guys who knew he got called up were two retired dudes in our league, one of which has won 9 titles.
Nothing to do but fantasy baseball.
So, yeah, all right. This is just 2 more minutes. Bear with me, people. Nothing's worse than listening to somebody else's sad fantasy story, but I'm going to do it anyways. So the two retired guys put the bids in on him. Of course, the guy who got the bid is the guy who's won 9 titles, Tom Shearer. I am currently second to him by about 6 points. I have about a 7% chance of catching him. However, if I'd have gotten Reese Hoskins, the season would be over. I would have won the championship. No one could catch me, but he got him instead. And timing, right? I'm working. I didn't realize I get home to make the transaction.
That hurricane to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, it was a month away, but I knew, right. Anyways, no, he is, look, the numbers are staggering. If he could just get hurt tomorrow for the rest of the season and come back fully healthy next year, I'm good. Sorry, Philly. Philly's out of it. What do they care? Just let Rees get hurt. And while you're at it, Andrew McCutchen can go down too for just the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Anyway. And I'm sorry I had to show you that live home run on my tweet of McCutchen from the Brewers.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So,
Bill, real quick, what's your name? What's your team name?
Willie's Woodwhackers.
I'm not asking why.
Do with it what you want, but we made everybody tie something into their name. The guy I'm playing is Tom Shear. His name is Shear Ecstasies, and we have a guy named Jeff Schmidt, and his is Schmidt Happens. Right, so we try to tie your team name into it. We've, like I said, 31 years we've been doing this. So.
Did you go with Risky Business last year, like I suggested?
I did in my football league. Yeah, I sure did.
Okay,
that's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Nice. So anyway, well, this Reese Hoskins, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, they talk about him and Judge, you know, and the numbers, and you look at the numbers side by side, and Reese Hoskins got to 34 home runs. Let's say, oh my god, like in so much faster. So we'll see. It's kind of fun to see some new young faces come on the scene. How about the PGA guys? When I flew over to Milwaukee, I flew into Chicago and then connected planes over to Milwaukee, and the flight pattern from Columbus, it usually happens. You either go just north of the city and you can see Wrigley Field, or you come south of the city. And I flew right over the top. I mean, like right over the top, look down into the 50-yard line of Bears, Soldier Field.
Nice.
And then on the way out, I didn't even realize it, but as I'm flying up to Milwaukee, which is just a 15-minute in the air flight, went right over the top of Conway Farms, which I didn't know is hosting I didn't know what it was called. But as I'm flying, I love looking down at golf courses, Bill. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
Looking at the contours and the fairway stripes. And I see this golf course, and I can see it's got grandstands all around it and things like that. So I start putting two and two together, realizing that the PGA Tour BMW Championship is somewhere outside of Chicago. And Lake Forest is about, probably as you drive 30, 35 minutes north of Chicago, but you could see the grandstands from above, and it's really cool. But boy, Mark Leishman is playing some golf up there, isn't he?
Yeah. He's been I guess you call him kind of under the radar for a fan who is not, really heavily involved in the PGA, but he's been a solid, solid player on the tour for a couple of years now, out of Australia, someone who's going to win a lot of tournaments, I think, and has a really good shot, obviously, at winning the FedEx Cup, which would kind of keep that streak going of nobody repeating, right? So, yeah,
wasn't that your U.S. Open pick, if I remember correctly?
He was one of my first picks, yeah. So he's got a five-stroke lead, and as the saying goes, nothing harder than sleeping on a five-stroke lead heading into Sunday. But five-stroke lead, he's got two guys that can make some birdies behind him, Ricky Fowler and Jason Day. Jason Day had a nice hole in one in round two.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On day one, I was watching Fowler rolled off six straight birdies on the back nine. And then Justin Rose is seven behind, and then seven guys are tied at 11. So for those guys, it's just a lot about positioning for the Coca-Cola Championships next week in Todd's backyard at Eastlake.
Yeah. Got to get in the top 30 to advance. And so,
yeah. And so you were saying off the air, Bill, who are some of those people that are kind of right on that bubble?
Well, I watched Mickelson was putting on 18. He had a long eagle putt on 18. But if he made it, it would have taken him from 36 to 26 and put him inside the cut line. Well, he ended up birdieing the hole, and he's now at 33. So he's got some work ahead of him today. He's got to move up a little bit to try and get into that top 30. I think Sergio is on the bubble. We were talking about that. But that'll be much like Q school. That'll be the fun today at the tournament one missed 5-foot putt that costs you a chance to advance. I mean, that's going to happen today, inevitably. So
sure. Or one made 20 footer,
Right. Something that's really, that'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. So certainly is exciting, as we said, it gets down to the top 30 next week, and it's kind of for all the marbles, but really there's only about four or five players that will have a chance to win it all, but they're all making some good money and obviously want to be playing good for the players from America that are in the President's Cup and the players from the international team.
Right.
We'll want to be going in on the strong thing. Yeah. All right. We've made Todd wait long enough. Let's talk college football. Boy, was yesterday one of those days that you live for, even though it was frustrating and nail biting for the first 59 minutes. Todd, I'll let you kind of lead the discussion on, I don't know. Where do you want to start? You want to maybe pick a game and,
do we have a sponsor yet for Gator Talk? I mean, you guys should really go out, find somebody and go, now on the stare down, the Gator Talk brought to
Todd,
you by...
Todd, what's that? What's that potato chip company that does all the sponsorships in Florida?
Golden Flake, right?
Golden, yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yellow Lumber, right? If it doesn't have a yellow label on it, you don't want it.
Or Goody's headache powder.
Out here. So, yeah, no game comes to mind, Sean. I don't remember any big game 330 at all. So, I don't know about you guys, superstitions in sports, when your team's doing well, some people won't change positions. I cannot sit down. So I probably put about 9,000 steps yesterday watching that Florida game. So it's college football. It's what we love about sports. 59, just Sean, jump in, but I don't think we're just not a very good team. And I don't know if it's coaching. I know we have good recruiting. That said, we beat our, you know, top three biggest rivals every year, third, fourth game of the year. It really paves the way for the SEC East. It's a huge game. Tennessee is now, in effect, two behind, because if we lose one, they're tied with us, and we have the tiebreaker. But, I mean, very frustrated from a fan's point. I think Felipe Franks has all the tools. I think he's athletic. He obviously can throw the ball, right? We learned that last play. And for those of you who didn't see it, 65-yard pass as time expired to win. He's got all the tools. I don't feel like we're coaching him up, we being Florida, and I feel like it's hurting his confidence. And I'm frustrated with the head ball coach because he's an offensive guru, frustrated with the defensive coordinator. That said, we're 1-1 after the Michigan loss, Florida, and beat Tennessee, our big rival. So great result yesterday, as they like to say in soccer. Great result, but a lot of work to do, right?
A lot of question marks for sure. Bill, what were your thoughts?
Well, I just love watching the Twitter feed of all the Gator fans. It is unbelievable how angry Gator fans can get, you know, at the coaching staff and at decisions. But, you know, one of the most boring first halves I've ever watched.
If you're not a fan of those two teams, it was tough to watch, right?
And watching people miss field goals. You know, yeah. I know it was good. It was Tennessee, but still, it's just not.
Three field goals they missed.
Not exciting, yeah. And then, to see Felipe really have a very interesting second half, right? It's almost like that was kind of like this is his little coming out party. It was
a maturation process.
Yeah, sure. It was very cool to see that. I think that's going to build a lot of confidence. I don't know, 17, Tony, Javarius Tony?
Kadarius. Kadarius, yeah.
He looks like he could be the real deal, right? Yeah. So he'll be a lot of fun to watch, and they're going to grow up together in that program, right? So you get Callaway back and – you know, maybe the offense can turn it on enough to make some noise in the East, right? Is it possible?
Yeah. I think it's very possible.
For it, right? You just gotta start.
You know, I said yesterday, I felt that there was easily, as of yesterday, halftime. I think I texted you guys and I said, I truly feel at this point in time right now where we're at, six teams could win the East. And it wouldn't surprise me. Kentucky, the only team that can't is Missouri. They're just horrible. Okay. But I felt at that point in time, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. I mean, yeah. And Vanderbilt, huge game last night. But Todd, I think for me, the game, the most frustrating part about it, you talked about McElwain's personality. You talked about Nussmeier, Randy Shannon, who's coached at the D1 level with Miami. The thing that's frustrating the most to me is since 2010, when Urban Meyer left, we have been the most undisciplined team, not just in the SEC. I mean, we've led the SEC in penalties all 7 years, and I don't even think it's close. And yesterday, Tennessee had more penalty yards, mm-hmm. but I think we had bigger penalties at moments where you just can't afford a penalty, right? We have the little screen pass. And hey, Doug Nussmeier, thanks for finally working in a screen pass four or five times that you never showed during Michigan game. But we had that one screen pass that went for, I think, 40, 45 yards, called back because 12 men in the huddle. Hmm. You know, things like that are just absolutely, you know, just the coming out of a timeout and getting a false start. I mean, just things like that just boggle my mind as a fan. And as I said, we have a lot of work to do before we go to Kentucky. Kentucky's now riding 3-0. They went into a hostile stadium in South Carolina.
Can't believe that victory. Yeah,
won a big game after giving up just a long touchdown on the first play.
Yeah.
we beat them 30 times in a row. You know,
we said it 30 times in a row. We beat Kentucky.
Wow. Yeah.
And, wow. you know, how many years have we gone to Lexington and they say, this is the year the streak ends. And, but Bill, you mentioned it, Todd, you mentioned it saying we're killing Frank's confidence, but I think that last throw of the game could have been the biggest shot of confidence that Felipe and his teammates now all of a sudden say, if we can just pick up the blitz, if we cannot fumble the ball on runs, two huge runs we had,
right,
and we fumbled both of them.
And right? not make stupid mental mistakes that lead to personal fouls, right? I mean, you're talking about the undisciplined part. It's not just some of those penalties, it's some of the actions.
Yeah.
Just got to be smarter, right? I mean, they're not the Jimmy Johnson Hurricanes by any stretch.
Right.
But yeah, there's got to be that. Discipline is such an important word.
Sure,
and what is coaching staff there for other than that? I mean, first and foremost, it's discipline.
Yeah.
Sean, we could drill down and I could geek out for an hour analyzing the game with you. But a couple things come to mind. First of all, Felipe Franks, if he never does anything else, he beat Tennessee on a game-winning throw. I mean, I think of Jesse Palmer, right? We remember him as the Bachelor, remember him being the Giants. He was on – it was first and 10, Bill, on our 10-yard line with a minute left, Sean, 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And he told the huddle, he's like, you see that end zone? We drove it 90 yards. Jabbar Gaffney had a controversial catch, but forever. I mean, he's forever. He beat Tennessee on a throw. So happy for him. I'm just hoping the coaching staff can set him up in, you know, get him a position to be successful. Look at Georgia. Jacob Eason last year. You can knock him all you want, but they gave him the ball and said, here you go. Here's a year. Jake Frome, now that Eason's hurt, they're giving him the ball saying, here you go. I want – Felipe Franks has the ability. I want Florida to give him the ball. We threw three passes 10 yards or more yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Three passes. Let him throw the ball. You know? So, anyway, we're nitpicking. It was a great win. I think there's a ton of room to improve and build on. Yes. Did not like the fact that McElwain was playing for overtime. He didn't call timeout yesterday, right?
That was a, you know, and I, God bless Gary Danielson for maybe covering for McElwain, but he says, well, I think he thought he had the first down. Well, watch the referees, and even if they don't have the first down, you still had two timeouts in your pocket.
Yeah, there's no covering up. You're right.
No. And we have a kicker that can kick a 60-yarder if we need it, right?
Yeah, that's just – there's got to be – most teams now have like a quality control coach on the sidelines that like helps with the clock management. Yeah. Where's that dude not right in McElwain's ear going, you got to call time out. Right.
Yeah. It just, you know, and you heard the fans, you know, rain down the booze, not because of the play, but because the lack of urgency.
Right. Playing for overtime.
Look, as thrilled as we are about this win, and I said on, you know, you guys have heard me say, we have lots of rivals, Florida State, Miami, Georgia, LSU, but there's none that I think we like beating more than Tennessee because of the disrespect, because of the – I've never seen a school talk more shit. That's won one out of the last 13 games. Did you see on Twitter the picture of the guy? You didn't see the picture of the guy, but someone urinating on Tim Tebow's statue the night before. It's people like that that owe the apology to Tennessee for the loss because karma comes back on people like that. But here's the thing, Todd. As happy as we are with the win, if Tennessee had a coach that had a little more talent, Tennessee, they had first and goal from the 1 yard line. Mm-hmm. And they
didn't
switch
score.
Quarterbacks. They got a false start. They didn't hand the ball off to John Kelly at all in that series.
I would have given it to him four times in a row. Get a yard, right? Get a yard.
You know, Chauncey Gardner, gets a personal foul for taunting and gives him another first down after they stopped him on third down.
Yep.
So many times we just made decisions. They throw incomplete on third down and we – take the penalty to give them second down, which then they come back and make a third and 19, conversion. Just some of the decisions, Bill, you're right. There needs to be like a quality control. Like every time we are within like 8 points, they say, what do? They say they go on the chart and it's 0-2.
Yeah.
Right. And there needs to be like one of those.
These quality control coaches were around when I was with the Chargers in the 90s, right? All this guy did, I can't remember his name. Bobby Ross was there at first and then it was Kevin Gilbride. I'm going way back. history, right? Yeah. But all he did was monitor practices, make sure that all the things were covered that were supposed to be covered at practice. So he has this entire operation. But on game day, he's all about what's happening, keeping the coach.
He's the moment coach.
He's right in the moment. Yeah. And he doesn't have to be on the sideline. He could just be in his ear, you know, and just watching from above. Someone like that would have seen that wasn't a first down, or at least been right on top of that going, get ready, go, 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 timeout. And the coach has to have such trust.
There's an official right by the sideline. He could be like timeout right now.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, let's remember this conversation, guys, right now, because you watched it happen with Peyton Manning and Tebow. For those guys, much earlier in their career because of the leaders they were. But you watch Felipe Franks, and I guarantee you, maybe 2 years from now, Frank still has the keys to the offense. He jumps up and calls timeout because he knows the situation. He's the coach on the field. And I think we see that with some players, right? Todd, last thought on the game.
Last thought, Sean. Gosh, and I am so guilty. I never thought I was this guy. But the announcers, Gary Danielson, I forget, Nor Drive Me Nuts, right?
Brad Nessler,
yeah.
And Brad Nessler, great, great announcers. But when it's your team, they drive you nuts. Everything seems negative. Everything's slanted. I'm watching with a buddy of mine who's a Georgia guy, and he goes, he's not being that bad. You know, he's like, I had to take a step back. That said, in all fairness, and again, I was being a homer, but either Nessler or Danielson, I can't remember, said something that was so rung so true. He said, Florida's defense, their worst enemy is Florida's offense. Mm-hmm. And it resonated to me. I'm like, we don't control the ball long enough. These guys get tired. Look at the Michigan game, right? First half versus the second half. We just got worn out. So I am hoping that the offense coordinator, head ball coach, turn the keys over to Franks, and we just start calling better. Florida starts calling a better, well-managed game. Throw the ball downfield and see what happens. But the defense is going to get tired, right? It happens every time.
Yeah, I agree. Guys, let's stay in the SEC really quick. I want to talk about another big game. LSU just absolutely punched in the face by Mississippi State.
I'm so upset by that.
What's that?
I'm so upset by that.
Yeah, really, the tear. I can see the one tear falling down your face. Stop smiling. All
right. And to listen to Ed Orgeron just say, we gave up too many penalties. Offense didn't look good. Defense didn't look good. We got to get better, y'all. And, oh, my God, that they got – so Mississippi State suddenly – we talked about it, Bill, confidence.
Yeah.
Boy, that Matt Fitzgerald, is that his name?
Nick.
Nick Fitzgerald. Nick? You go through the list of quarterbacks that Dan Mullen's worked with, all the way back to Alex Smith in Utah when he was underneath Meyer. Then he worked with Tebow. Then he worked with Dak Prescott. This guy finds a way to get these. Boy, that was a good, a well called game, and they played good on both sides of the ball. They I'm not going to say they're in Alabama's, but all of a sudden they're the next man up in that SEC West.
Mississippi State beat Alabama, right? In part of that Dak Prescott era. Didn't they have a big win against them? Yeah.
Correct.
So, yep. I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Them and Ole Miss were 1-2 when initial BC.
That's
BCS.
Right.
Yeah. So it's an interesting game. We talked offline, guys. My daughter got a chance to see her very first SEC game in Williams-Brice Stadium.
Didn't go very well for her.
Good experience, but it opened up hot. I sent you some text from the moment she's like, oh my God, this is the greatest stadium ever. And I was proud of her enthusiasm, but boy, South Carolina fizzled, and that kid, it was reported he broke his leg, Debo Samuel. It's a low ankle break. He came on Twitter and said he's going to be back in 5 to 6 weeks. I don't think he'd come back from an ankle break in 5 to 6 weeks. That's an enthusiasm, and that's a youth talking because he wants to get back on the field. But, boy, Muschamp looked lost at the end of that game.
I'm in my weekly football pool, right? You pick against the spread and then rank confidence points. I had South Carolina for 13, and there's 15 games. I thought – that was a done deal. I thought they would win. I was really confident. And with all due respect to Riley, have you been to Williams-Brice Stadium, Sean?
I have. South Carolina? Not for a game, though. I'll be there for a game. I've been in the stadium, but not for a game atmosphere.
I think it's kind of a dump. I don't know about you. So if she loves that stadium,
there's
better things to happen for her.
If you're listening, ignore Uncle Todd.
I mean, it's like an Erector set a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like
yeah.
Florida State Stadium. So anyway.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Bill, what West Coast games did you pay attention to last night?
A couple of them. One, I mean, I follow the Sun Devils still, right? Last year, they beat Texas Tech in Sun Devil Stadium. Kalen Ballage scored 8 touchdowns that game. So right. It was just a 68-55. We talked about it last
year. We talked about it on the stare down.
Yeah, on the stare down. Well, this year, a wide receiver for Texas Tech, the name escapes me, scored as many touchdowns as Ballage. They each had one.
He had 8, really?
No, they each had 1. I mean, in this game, they only
had 1.
So, Ballage did not go off like he did last year. And they ended up, I mean, they like Aztecs were down 18 at the half, down 14 in the third quarter. They do come back to tie at 45-45 in the fourth and end up losing on a final drive 52-45. So, you know, there was some, you know, kind of sleeper talk floating around out there. They now lost 2 in a row. You know, nothing yet in conference, but their next game is a home game with Oregon. We'll see how that goes. I don't think right. very well. Because Oregon,
I believe Oregon has scored 42 points in all 3 of their games.
Yes, and they got Taggart, their head coach, right? Out of Florida, right? Out of
South Florida.
USF, yeah. So they look like they're coming back. The other game that really thrills me is a kid who born and raised in San Diego, the Aztecs, you know, under Rocky Long, beat the Stanford Cardinal 2017 in a late drive in the fourth quarter. Really fast defense. And I don't know if this, but their Penny is the running back for the Aztecs. He's the leading rusher in the country. He's the leading total yardage guy in the country after 3 weeks. Unbelievable skill. And he's a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, of course, he's in San Diego. I was there when Marshall Faulk was running for 250, 350.
Ooh, sure.
Yeah. And Gino Toretto won the friggin' Heisman that year. Thanks a lot. Right.
Yeah.
Bill, send me a text on Friday night and just remind me. You know what the Arizona State Texas Tech over-under line was?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know?
It was. I just looked it up while you were talking. It was 73.5.
They killed it. They went way over.
They smashed that thing, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, hey, Bill, a couple more West Coast games I just want to hit on really quickly. USC, Texas. Texas came to play. I think people wrote Texas off. That's 2 losses now for Tom Herman's team, but you know, against Maryland and USC in the Coliseum, not one you're embarrassed about.
Right.
Took them to double overtime. Had a chance. They were up, you know, with 39 seconds to go. So that's just one to just think about later in the year. But boy, does UCLA have any defense?
Wow.
First of all, does anybody in the Pac-12 have defense?
Oh, my God.
I mean, think about it. I mean, really. I mean,
Washington's the only.
Well, there you go. It's always been the quarterback conference, right? It's where all the QBs came out of. So there's very little defense going on.
Gave up 48 to Memphis.
Memphis, yeah. Came back and won that game, but no, same thing. it's just brutal.
So Memphis is not someone you sleep on. I mean, they're always pretty good mid-level team. So it's not like they should have been surprised. And right before the Florida game's on, I was at my buddy's house, and you turn on, I'm like, 48-45? You know, what's going on in Memphis? And now what a huge win for that program, right?
If Texas comes back, you know, if Herman can get Texas back, right now Oklahoma and Oklahoma State look like they are like top 5 level teams. They're playing great football.
Mason Rudolph, 500 yards passing.
Unbelievable. And then, you know, you always have TCU's a good team. I mean, the Big 12's got a chance to kind of come back.
West Virginia. Don't forget West Virginia's in the Big 12.
Right.
They lost, didn't they, yesterday, or did they come back?
I don't know. Did TCU lose?
No, they were down. Let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, not sure. And one more game on college.
They beat Miami 56-36. I'm sorry.
As much as you don't want to maybe admit it, because, you know, the defending champs don't need any help, Clemson's good. Clemson is really, really good. Because I think we talked last week about Lamar Jackson being just a man amongst boys. He looked like a boy last night. He was just shut down in his passing game. He was shut down in his running game. The quarterback for Clemson, Kelly, drawing a blank on his last name, but he is really good throwing, passing, running. Defense solid. Clemson, I don't know who's going to stop them unless Florida State, you know, finds a way.
Maybe we're setting up for a rematch.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be half bad.
Yeah. Wouldn't be half bad.
Unless you're a Gator fan.
Yep. Well, Oklahoma, Penn State, Michigan, you know, a lot of those teams are going to end up kind of like you said. Oklahoma State, you know, they play like they did. You know, and remember, Bedlam's not at the end of the year anymore. It's 3 weeks before the season ends.
I've heard a lot of national prognosticators pick Oklahoma State to win. Yeah. They're over Oklahoma. Yeah, they really like that team. So
just to see Mike Gundy's mullet is sweet.
Oh my God. I'm a grown man.
I'm 40.
Sean, 40. Clemson has Virginia Tech on the road in 2 weeks.
Ooh, okay.
And then FSU. Other than that, it seems pretty manageable. Now they always have the South Carolina game, right? That's
yep.
Broad game. So who
and
knows?
That's in Columbia. Yep.
Yep, at South Carolina. So they're set up pretty well, it appears.
Got to give a shout out to South Florida, right? Handled
a big win.
Big Ten team. Illinois beat them handily. And there's not a whole lot on their schedule, to be really honest, right? There's I'm trying to think.
They play Memphis, though, don't they?
They do play Memphis, and that's going to be a big game. But they've got a legitimate shot at going undefeated. After a real rough start, it looks like things are kind of clicking into place for Flowers and the rest of the team.
So good.
Be
fun to watch. And that's one of those teams that, you know, starts creeping up in the
they get to 5 or 6, but never crack the top 4. That's just how it works.
Yeah. But just a quick shout out to Vanderbilt. They'll probably be ranked this week for the first time in probably 15 years or so, maybe more. Good for them.
And Team K-State, right?
Yeah. And that's just a good for that Derek Mason and his program. Congrats to them, and we'll see what happens when they play Alabama next week. Because they were making that mistake, guys, at the end of the game, chanting, "We want Bama."
No, you don't.
Nobody
you
wants
Bama. You don't want them.
No.
All right, guys.
Did you see Stabenes' press conference?
I did. I think he's getting old and crotchety, but it's funny. But, you know, I don't think he needs to worry about tipping Colorado State. He could tell them the plays he's going to run, and I don't think they're going to beat him. You know,
exactly.
I just feel this reporter is just doing her job, right? Asking a question. And I was going to mention real quick, not to get sidetracked, but Dan Mullen was on the Paul Feinbaum show. Bill, I don't know if you've discovered that yet or not, but
oh yeah, Mr. SEC. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And he was out in Stark, Vegas. There was 30 people. I mean, no one was there. It was a live shot, and he's just saying all the right things, smiling, thanking the fans. And then you have Saban, who's just berating a reporter for asking a question. I'm like, maybe that's why he's so good, because he pays attention to every detail.
Yep, exactly. Belichick does that too.
Right? Oh my God.
All right, let's turn to the professionals, guys, really quick, and then we'll finish up, because Bill's got to catch a flight out to Vegas. All right, can we just start with Thursday's game? How bad are the Bengals? The Bengals have scored less touchdowns than the Gators have in 2 games, which is 0. I think it's the first NFL team in ever, maybe, or 40-some years that have scored 0 touchdowns in the first 2 games.
Wow.
Not a good look for Marvin Lewis and his team. They lose to Houston in a boring Thursday night game, 13-9. What's on your radar today, guys? We're recording this show before the Sunday games because of Bill's flight. Any games that you have circled to watch on DirecTV, Todd?
Oh, man. Packers-Falcons, right?
Yeah, big one.
I mean, that's 8:30. Very excited about that one.
New stadium, right?
Mercedes-Benz Stadium. My son's actually going to that game. So,
wow.
Yeah, good for him. Very happy for him. And he better text me at least once or twice and not give me one word responses when I text him back. Bill, your son's too old for that. But I'm sure you feel my pain when you text your son and you get like a yes answer. I'm like,
right.
But anyway, that's the one circle for me. What about you, Bill?
Well, by the way, I'll be in Vegas, Todd. Probably might get to a sports book by 5:20. So just let me know.
Hey, put $5 on 24 roulette, black 24.
So $5 on black 24 roulette.
You'll thank me later at 35 to 1 payback.
So all right, anyway. You got it. Good. I've got to go local too. It's the home opener and the season opener for the Bucks. They got the Bears coming into town. Jameis Winston, his third season. There's a lot of excitement. You got DeSean Jackson trying to stretch the field, which means Mike Evans maybe becomes even a better receiver if it's possible, because he's got help on the other side like he didn't have as so well. So that's going to be exciting. That's a 1 o'clock start here. I'll be just taken off. So fingers crossed that I've got the Southwest with Wi-Fi and it's not broken. But for me, that's the big game, I think, locally. How about you, Sean?
Well, I'm looking at 3 games in that 1 o'clock slot that are just intriguing. You got Philadelphia at Kansas City, Carson Wentz going up against their old coach, Andy Reid. Does Kansas City coming off an 11-day break, right? Because they played opening night, and when they beat down New England, can they stop that Philadelphia offense? and can they continue the offensive output there? Down in New Orleans, Drew Brees and Tom Brady go head-to-head, both teams coming off a loss. I expect the ball to be thrown all around the field there, going back all the way to their Purdue-Michigan days.
I think New England rolls in that one, Sean.
I think so, too. I think New England comes back from a vengeance after a loss and just executes on all cylinders, offense and defense and special teams. Mm-hmm. But the game I think that will probably be one of the more intriguing of the day is Minnesota at Pittsburgh. That's a Minnesota, I think, is a step away from – their defense is really, really good. And their offense, Pittsburgh struggled against Cleveland. And we'll see if that's because Pittsburgh struggled against Cleveland or if Cleveland maybe has anything today. We'll know when they go to Baltimore, two teams that don't like each other.
Keep your eyes on Adam Thielen.
Yes.
Slot receiver for the Vikings.
Yes.
He is going to be good. You know, he's already good.
I don't think anyone's throwing the ball better than Sam Bradford right now.
That's crazy, but you're right.
Minnesota is, to me, they're the team to watch. I think they can be really good. And where's this – you mentioned his name. I forget already, but where's this kid from, the slot receiver?
I don't know. This is the second or third year. He's been around a little while. I'm not sure where he went to school.
Yeah, he came from –
Is it spelled the same way as Gerald Phelan, the guy from Boston College?
Phielen.
Yeah. I'd love to know where he's from. He comes from a small school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like a Jordy Nelson type of guy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And who's the slot receiver for the Cowboys? Beasley?
Another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Another. And then our Monday night game is two quarterbacks maybe heading opposite directions. Matt Stafford, as Todd mentioned last week, the highest paid player in football against Eli Manning in a must-win situation for the Giants, right? And NFC game. I believe Odell Beckham Jr. will be back in the lineup with that sore ankle. So we'll see. It's fun. Guys, I got to experience last weekend my first Sunday with the Red Zone on DirecTV. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I got to admit, that's kind of almost better because they're constantly showing you something that's happening. There's no, flip over to a game and they're in a 12-minute review on a sideline catch.
Nope.
As my brother-in-law calls it, it's football for those with ADD, right?
I mean,
it's constantly just going back and forth. It's fun.
Yes.
So, Todd, here. Go ahead, Bill.
I've got your Adam Thielen. You're right. Minnesota State University signed as an undrafted free agent in 2013 with the Vikings. So he stayed.
Isn't that where Coach took place?
That's right.
I think you're right.
Yeah. For some reason, I was on that game last week, Bill, and I was impressed with him and Bradford. I mean, I just think they're money. So
yeah, good. Well, should be a good day. And Bill, hopefully you'll get a couple games there on your Southwest Wi-Fi flights.
Yep.
They usually give you a couple good options for football games. I believe Fox and CBS are two of the channels that they do have.
Yeah, so, CBS for sure. So that's good.
Hopefully that's good. Guys, let's call it a show. That's a lot of action. Bill, why don't we start with you? What are you going to Vegas for, and what else is on your agenda this week?
So I'm going to the Realtor.com Results Summit, their second annual event. I was looking at the list of presenters and speakers and things.
A lot of people we know. Yep.
13 of them have been on the real estate sessions, and another 10 will be attending.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, that's great.
It works out really well. I'm going to be actually interviewing Marcy James live in the lobby of the Cosmopolitan tomorrow. So she'll be my guest next week. Coming up this Tuesday on the real estate sessions, an old favorite of mine. I shouldn't say old. It's a woman, a favorite of mine from back in the day. It's
edit.
Yeah, no, she can handle it. It's Teresa Boardman out of St. Paul, Minnesota. She is the St. Paul realestateblog.com, one of the early pioneers of blogging. Sean,
I know her very well.
Yep. And those, Teresa, just a great lady. Salt of the earth, Minnesotan, and she was a lot of fun. So hers will publish on Tuesday. Other than that, for me, I get home Wednesday night, super busy Thursday and Friday. There's a Greater Tampa Realtors Association event I'm going to on Friday, booked up with a bunch of appointments on Thursday. And then we just got to make sure we're getting everything back up to speed, start closing transactions. I think we're going to have a really busy end of the month, believe it or not, because we were able to survive enough. Good. We actually closed a transaction Wednesday. A cash deal where the buyer rent by the property and said, "I'm good, close it," and away we went. So that felt good because you just never know in our business how a storm like this could impact things.
So, Bill, what do you got on the agenda tomorrow in Vegas? Because the event's not till Tuesday, so
it's Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, it's Monday,
yeah,
Tuesday.
It's a two-dayer. Yeah. So tonight, there's a little get together tonight. And yeah, so it's all day Monday, Tuesday. There's an event, closing event Tuesday night. I fly home Wednesday.
Good. Well, tell those people out there, a lot of the ones that are mutual friends of ours, I said hi.
I will. Absolutely.
All right. Todd, what do you got going on this week, man?
Hey, Bill, I would answer none of your business. If the meeting starts Tuesday, I'm going to Vegas.
here's the bad thing. I'm not a big gambler, right?
Yeah.
I just not. It's just what, I mean, I won't sit at a card table. I won't play slot machines. Even sports, I really don't hang out. Sports books, unless I just want to watch, because there's, you can watch everything at once. But I go to Vegas and I'm looking at what's the latest Cirque du Soleil show, or, you know, who's the singer in town that I want to see. And that's not really, I shouldn't admit that on the stare down, but I'll just,
that's all right, man.
Go ahead.
So Sean, Bill, you believe it or not, Bill, you stole a little of my thunder. But I'll get to that in a second. Sean, going to Middle and South Georgia this week, going to spend some time in Macon. Going to do a couple overnighters, just, some account maintenance and just, pressing the flesh and seeing some people. Because of Irma, you guys would appreciate this. I talked to my boss on Tuesday, and he said we, meaning our region, our territory, had one of the worst incoming days that he can remember. But if you think about it, our territories, you know, is Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. I think a lot of people, especially in Georgia, just shut down, right? Stayed at home, probably weren't placing a lot of orders. So I told him, trying to be positive, the good news is we're going to have a huge day coming up because the orders have to be placed. But I'm going to spend some time, try to close some projects. And Bill, on Wednesday, Jenny bought two tickets, and we're going to see Cirque du Soleil in Atlanta Station. And nice. I thought maybe you and Cindy would appreciate that.
Do you know which show? Is it Ka, or is it O, or is it?
It's, you know, it's with an L. Hold on. It's
Love? The Beatles?
No, oh, okay. I wish. God, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So,
what's it called? Louisa? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't know that one. That's great. So that's a newer one. Awesome.
So yeah, we're gonna get a hotel downtown and make a night of it. So
nice.
Work hard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, have a little fun Wednesday and then finish the week strong.
Nice. How about you, Sean?
That's good. Well, that gives me a good idea, Bill. I'm speaking at Gen Blue in Las Vegas in mid October, and so I think I'm gonna promote that week of speeches as Carpe du Soleil.
Nice.
Right. Nice.
Where I get credit, it does it. So I had a great week last week in Wisconsin and Iowa. Shout out to my friends out there. Had a great time in the heartland. Got a chance to see the Brewers game. But for me, I head to Sacramento, California this week, and I'm going to spend a day and a half with our friends from the Coldmaker NRT company out there. So it should be a good week. On the flight out, I'll be working on a presentation for November down in Arkansas. Got an Olympic theme, so I got some books on the Olympics that I got to go through and do some history on to kind of come up with some creative ways to get agents up and running there. So, guys, it's been a good week. Love that you're safe, Bill. Love that your area there, Todd, is safe as well. Sports is life, and life is sports, and I appreciate the fact that we can chat each week, whether it's in the morning over breakfast or in the evening over beers about sports. So on behalf of Bill and Todd, I'm Sean Carpenter. Thanks for listening to The Stare Down.